Good afternoon, everyone. Let's take our Bibles out and turn to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Hope you're having a great Lord's Day thus far. And I hope that the Sunday school lesson was a blessing to you as we continue to journey through the parables. We can learn so much from those parables. And I'm thankful that the Lord continues to guide and direct us even in the Sunday school hour. Teenagers, how was your Sunday school? I hope you learned a lot on your lesson. Young ladies, young men. And then also the children's lesson on the website as well. Hopefully everyone was able to take part in Sunday school today. I want to encourage you, 3 p.m. every Lord's Day, Sunday school is available for your children, your teenagers, for the adults, of course, as well. And so we want to get as much of the Word of God as we possibly can. And we're doing our best at Anchor Baptist Church to continue to provide that. I hope you're praying for one another. And thank you for praying for our family. We are still in our quarantine time. We have 9 more days. Trust me, the countdown is on, and we haven't quite made it to that first week yet, but we're almost to week number 1, and I think we still have a little bit of our sanity, and so just trying to figure out how I can exercise in the backyard, and I've walked around it so many times. I'm not walking around the house in the front, but in the back for sure, and just thankful that we were able to go and be with my family. And we had a wonderful time, and we give God the glory for that. And as you may have found out, our daughter, Brianna, got engaged on Friday night to Moises down there in California. And we're so grateful for them as they begin now to plan a wedding. We'll let you know when that's going to happen. Once we know for sure when it's going to happen, we have some idea of that. But truly thankful for their dating life. And now they're engaged time, and we trust you'll be praying for them. And we just thank you for being a part of our family all these years. Well, we're continuing our series, preaching through the book of Acts. And so by now, I'm sure you found Acts chapter number 2. And we're coming down to the end of the second chapter. Boy, I tell you what, the church is just getting started. And what a start it has had. What a blessing we have seen God do in the book of Acts thus far. The beginning of the church, the empowerment of the disciples, Holy Spirit coming down, empowering them, the preaching of the Word of God, Peter's sermon, the first sermon that we talked about here a few weeks ago. And now we come to the end of chapter 2, and what we're going to speak about this afternoon, the theme is called this, Continuing Christianity. Continuing Christianity. Let's pick it up in verse number 41, and we'll read down through the end of the chapter. Then they that gladly received His Word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Again, I'd like to speak to you on this theme this afternoon, continuing Christianity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity now to open your word. I pray that you'll bless this time. Holy Spirit of God, we need you like never before. Whether we're the speaker or the listener, we need your filling at this very moment. And we pray, God, that you would do that for us. Meet the needs of the hour. Save the lost. Revive the saints. May your will be accomplished is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm privileged today to be using, I don't think you can see it much, but I'm privileged today to be using the very first pulpit was made by actually Brother Fred Tillman's son, Patrick. This pulpit has been in our shed for many years, and I got it out after we got back, cleaned it up, washed it up, and so it's all original except this top piece here had to be replaced, and of course the pulpit that we use now, Brother Mark Vesna built for us some years ago, and but this is the original. This pulpit here would be probably about 18 years old, 18 years plus, and so most of you teenagers, it's older than you. It's older than you, all right? But anyway, I'm thankful to have this pulpit to be able to preach from this afternoon. All right, Acts chapter 2. As we said just a moment ago, the church is brand new, and it's had quite a beginning. I mean, great things have been happening. And we see the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, His faithfulness. He said, when I go, then the Holy Spirit's coming. That's exactly what's happened. But that's what we need, isn't it? We need the Holy Spirit. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit. We need His power. We need His leadership. We need His guidance in our life. He's the one who brings us to truth. He's the one who brings conviction into our life. And so we've seen that already. This early group of believers is laying a solid foundation for all who will follow them. Guess what? We are those followers. We are those ones who have come after the first church, the first century church. And you know, that's the kind of church Anchor Baptist Church needs to strive to be. Not in a modern sense. Now, there's nothing wrong with being modern. There's nothing wrong with technology and live streaming and all of that. But we don't want to have a philosophy that is against the principles of the Word of God. We don't want to bring the world into the church. No, we want to keep Christ as the head of the church. And that's what we see here. This quote, "It is amazing when we consider this young church in Jerusalem that it had almost none of the things that we now often think to be essential in our church services." You know what I've discovered? I've discovered this, that the church in Jerusalem, as far as I can tell, there's no listing of it ever having a church building. Now, they did meet in the synagogue. They did borrow. They did meet in the porches of the temple. But as far as we can tell, there's no building per se. They met in vacant lots. They met by the seaside. You know what? Kind of sounds like Anchor Baptist Church. We've met in vacant lots now. The last couple of Wednesdays that we had meetings, we've had meetings in multiple hotel rooms through the years, in community centers and rented church buildings. We've never had a building of our own. That's okay. God is in control of that. And hey, that's okay. The first century church, if we can compare ourselves to them, then wonderful. But you know what they did have? They did have the power of God. They did have much of what we don't have today, the bells and the whistles of today, yet they had God's mighty power and they had God's mighty blessings. Those are the things you need. Those are the things I need in my life. Those are the things that Anchor Baptist Church needs. And more than we need a building, we need the power of God. More than we need technology, we need the power of God. More than we need whatever you can fill in the blank there, more than that, that is temporal. Those are all temporal. The buildings are temporal. They're not going with us. All right? The vehicles are temporal. They're not going with us. Everything that's temporal, it's not going with us to heaven. But what is going to heaven are the souls of men and women, young people, that we've been able to influence over these last 19 plus years here in our Jerusalem and in our Judea and in our Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth through our missionary endeavors. And we praise the Lord for that. No, we need the blessings of God. We don't, more than we need toys, we need truth. Amen? We need God's blessing. We need the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I would think today that it is the desire of every follower of Jesus Christ to prosper and grow in grace. I believe that's what we see in these few verses, that they didn't just get the church started and that's it. They didn't just have someone saved and then that's it. There is a continuing within Christianity. I got saved in April of 1983. That was a few years back, wasn't it? And I'm thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ that He saved me. I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit of God indwells me. And I'm thankful that the Father in heaven loves me. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8. But I didn't stay the same as I was when I was 9 years old. I have not stayed the same. Physically, of course, that's obvious, all right? But I'm talking about spiritually. No, there is a continuing in Christianity. But grow in grace and in the admonition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There should be a growing. We are connected to the vine. And as we're connected to the vine, we should be bringing forth fruit, more fruit, much fruit for the glory of God. And so I would think that it is the desire of every follower of the Lord Jesus to prosper and grow in grace. Someone who is truly born again of the Spirit of God, listen now, someone who is truly born again of the Spirit of God will have a hunger for truth. I have this Bible here with me today, will have a hunger for the Word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, 17. If the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, that means you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There will be a hunger every day for truth. He or she, you, me, we will strive not only for that truth, but we will strive to obey that truth. We will strive to trust and obey. There's no other way. to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. So, I have several things that are within our text here that God has given us. I am not giving them. I'm just giving them from the Word of God that will help us to have a faithful, prosperous Christian life. Yesterday, I spoke very early Saturday morning. I spoke to a group of people in the Philippines. Started at 5 a.m. our time, and I think it was 8 p.m. their time. And I was talking about, part of the message was, I related to Joshua 1:8, and then thou shalt have good success. I've said it over and over through the years. God wants us to be successful. God wants us to bear fruit. God wants us to stand for Jesus. God wants us to move forward by faith. These are things of the Lord. He wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. And so there are several things that we find in these last verses of chapter 2 that I'd like to point out to you this afternoon. All right, let's see number one. The first step that must be followed to bring about continuing Christianity. Number one is this: assurance of salvation. Look at verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word, they gladly received his word. God's word gave these new converts the assurance they needed to know that their eternal home was in heaven. They received something that they were assured of. Did you catch that? They received something. I want to ask you this afternoon, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you received the truth in the Word of God about how you can be born again of the Spirit of God? Do you have that settled? Are you sure? Do you know that you're on your way to heaven? You cannot continue in Christianity. You cannot grow in grace until that is settled. Until you know for sure that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Until you know that you're saved. They had the assurance of their salvation. What are you trusting in today to take you to heaven? What are you depending on? Who are you depending on? Are you depending on yourself? We're not self-made people. Oh, we've been created in the image of God. God in His love and in His mercy has allowed Jesus Christ, His Son, His one and only Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has given us Jesus Christ, the greatest gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. It was Jesus Christ Himself who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Are you trusting in something you've done to give you eternal life? Are you trusting in your baptism? Are you trusting in being a good church attender, being involved in the church? Are you trusting in the good deeds that you've done? Feeding the homeless, feeding the poor, helping people. These are all wonderful things, but they do not bring eternal life. Are you trusting in the church? Are you trusting in a godly heritage? Church is wonderful. Church is essential, amen? And a godly heritage is a blessing to have one of those. And praise God. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that there are people listening to me this afternoon on this second day of August 2020 that have crossed every religious T, they've dotted every religious I, but this is the truth. They're going to die and spend eternity in hell. Why? Because they've never truly been born again of the Spirit of God. Folks, if you have been saved of the Spirit of God, then you will have that assurance. How do you know I'll have that assurance? Let's go to our Bibles quickly over to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Would you turn over there with me? I want you to see a verse of Scripture that I believe will be a great help to you this afternoon. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 16. Romans 8:16. Do you see it? Let's read it. You read it out loud as I read it here, all right? Romans 8:16. Here we go. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let's look at a couple of words in that verse. Look at the first spirit. The first spirit is a capital S. Do you see that? Referring to the Holy Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. Small s, so my spirit. So the Holy Spirit is in me bearing witness with my spirit that we are what? That I am what? That I am a son or a child in this verse of God. So if I am not saved, there's no Holy Spirit bearing witness with my spirit, which isn't going to give me the assurance of my salvation. Oh, but I'm telling you today, what a blessing it is to know for sure that we're on our way to heaven. And it isn't about my works. It isn't about praying a sinner's prayer. That's not what saves me. You know how I know I'm saved? Because the Holy Spirit of God is bearing witness with my spirit that I am a child of the King. Do you have that witness within you? Do you have that hope within you today? Do you have that assurance within you? You cannot continue in Christianity, of course, until you have the assurance of your salvation. Oh, my friend, if you're not saved, before the day is out, find a quiet place at the end of this meeting. Even right now, you can just go to the Lord in prayer right now and seek Him for salvation and call on Him, admitting that you're a sinner, admitting that you need Jesus Christ, admitting that your way to heaven is wrong, but God's way through Christ is right. And you want to be on that road that leads to eternal life. Get that settled today. Get that settled today. Some of you were praying for to get saved. Oh, some of you in the last several months, you've just been able to hide out in your homes. And I'm not making fun of somebody that's hiding out in their home. I'm using that in a spiritual term. And you've not been able to be assembling. Oh, maybe you've been listening, but maybe you've been listening in the teen class or listening in the adult class. But it's a whole lot easier to hide when you're just sitting at home than when we're assembling. Oh, today, would you humble yourself today? Would you come to the cross today and find the forgiveness that is available there to you? Would you today get the assurance of your salvation? Number one, the assurance of salvation. Number two, baptism. Baptism. Look what it says as we go back to Acts chapter number 2, verse 41. Then they gladly received His word. Notice that they gladly received it as well. Well, I'll tell you what, there's something about a Christian who loves the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something about a Christian who has the joy of the Lord. I think we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But here you see they gladly received His word. They were baptized. Notice immediately they got saved. This also tells us something about baptism. This tells us that baptism is not for babies, because babies cannot receive, they cannot believe. Acts 16:31, the jailer has just asked Paul and Silas, what must I do? Or what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, Acts 16:31, and thou shalt be saved. A baby can't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore a baby cannot be baptized. First, the word must be received. There's a proper order here. Someone gets saved. But the very next step is biblical water baptism. It's by immersion. The word baptism is the Greek word baptizo. It means to immerse. It means to bury. You cannot bury someone with a cup of water. No, but you can immerse someone under the water. It's a great picture of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This quote by Mr. Graham Scroggie, immersion in water is a Christian's public confession of his faith in Christ and of the fact that he is in Christ, but the rite does not put him there. So baptism is a rite, R-I-T-E, so that the act of baptism does not put me in Christ. I'm already in Christ, but it is telling the world that I am in Christ. It is telling the world that I know I'm saved. It is telling the world that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You know, we've always said this, that baptism is the first step of obedience for a new Christian. It is identifying. I wear a wedding band that identifies me. It identifies me as being married. Okay? My parents just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. What a blessed time we had just last week, and I thank the Lord for it. My dad has his wedding band. My mom has her wedding band. I think my mom's has been upgraded a little bit over 50 years, and I don't know about dad's, maybe his too. The point is this, they both have a wedding band on because they're identified as married. They want the world to know that they have given their vows to their spouse, and when we get baptized, we're letting people know, we're letting the world know that Jesus Christ is the King of my life. I've accepted Him as my Savior, and I want to identify with Him. Now, here's the deal. Baptism is obedience. You see, the Christian life is one step of obedience after another. And so that's why I truly believe that you're not going to be able to continue, it doesn't mean you're not saved, but to continue in your growth as a Christian unless you first follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I wonder today whether you're part of Anchor Baptist Church or a part of another church around the world and you're listening to this service today, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of it. You've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, but you've never been scripturally baptized. Now remember, scriptural baptism is by immersion. See, Pastor Turner, when I was 2 years old, When I was 2 years old, my parents tell me I got baptized. Well, I can almost guarantee you that's not biblical baptism. And so baptism always follows your salvation. You weren't saved at 2 years old. Not too many people I've met. I don't think anybody quite matter of fact, that have a testimony of being saved at 2 years old. But I have met people that have said, yeah, I got baptized, but then I got saved. I don't need to get baptized again. No, you know when the wedding band comes? The wedding band comes after I gave the vows to my wife. Baptism comes after we confess Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. And so baptism, I wonder if you've never followed the Lord in believers' baptism, especially those of you that are a part of Anchor Baptist Church, I'm so encouraged that on Wednesday, August 19th, God willing, on Wednesday, August 19th, we're going to have our midweek service at the New West Community Church, and we're going to be baptizing that night. Right when all of this stuff came on in mid-March, we had a baptism scheduled, and we had several people scheduled to be baptized. I know for sure one of them is available on this particular Wednesday night to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Possibly you need to be baptized. You've never accepted Christ as Savior. And this would be a wonderful time to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. So here in the early church, we don't want to try to change things from the way God began the church. The Bible says they received His Word. They got assurance of their salvation. They were assured of something, and so they received it. They accepted Christ as Savior. Then they were baptized. And then number three, notice the Bible says in verse 41, and the same day were added unto them. So continuing Christianity, assurance of salvation, baptism, church membership. Now some of this is review for us, okay? But remember, repetition is the key to learning. Repetition. Being added to the church meant there was membership. Let's look at a couple of other verses. Go with me to Acts chapter 9, please. Acts chapter 9, a few pages over. Let's look at verse 26. Acts 9, 26. The Bible says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, this is after he got saved. He got saved earlier on in the chapter 9 of Acts. So he's saved, and he's come to Jerusalem. This is the first church, and he essayed to join himself to the disciples. He wanted to be in the group. He wanted to be a member. He wanted to be received. Now, this is Saul, okay? This is Saul who murdered Christians. This is Saul who persecuted and threw him into prison. He essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Believed not, but he wanted to join the group. Here we see that. Look at Acts chapter 18, please. Acts chapter 18. And in verse number 27, Acts 18, 27, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. This is kind of like a letter, if you will, a letter for membership. Exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. And so here we see letters written in the church that they might receive. Apollos is who it was talking about here. And so membership. This membership included several things. Notice back to Acts chapter number 2. And they continued steadfastly, verse number 42, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. And fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Fellowship is the Greek word translated from the Greek word koinonia. Koinonia. It means partnership. It means participation. It means community. I think of Anchor Baptist Church as a called out assembly of born again baptized believers who desire to win souls for Christ, who desire to disciple those souls, and who desire to continue to bring honor and glory to God. That is what we are as a church. We could also say that we are a community. We are a community. We are a partnership. We are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our great high priest. He is our shepherd. We are his sheep. We are striving to bring glory and honor to him. But that word fellowship is so important. A church is a community of born-again, baptized believers seeking to preach the gospel and make disciples of believers. It also speaks of fellowship, speaks of sharing of oneself with one another. Let me read to you Romans 15:26. Romans 15, you're welcome to turn over there if you'd like. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. They took up a collection for the church people at Jerusalem that were in great need. That's part of sharing oneself with another. That's part of fellowship. Anchor Baptist Church, all through these 19 plus years, we have been a group of people that have fellowship. It's not just talking about having a meal together, although that is part of it. We have been known to help someone in need. We have been known to help family members in need. I'm talking about church family members. This is part of being involved in the local New Testament church. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship?" Fellowship. That's that partnership. That's that participation, and that's that community. That's what the word means. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Now, we use this verse a lot to say that we're not supposed to be yoked up with the world. If you're looking for a bride or a groom, if you're looking to marry someone someday, you shouldn't be looking in the pool of the unsaved. You can't have fellowship, shouldn't have fellowship like that. In fact, your closest friends should be believers. That's what the church is for. The church is a place to have friendships. That's one of the things that has been so difficult, I believe, in these days, is to not have the fellowship. It's why we're trying everything we possibly can to have physically distanced meetings. I know that coming to a motorcycle parking lot isn't the most opportune or the most beautiful setting, but we can still have a sense of community, a sense of fellowship. And our next in-person meeting is that August 16th, and we should have 50 people at that church. We should have to tell people you can't come because too many people signed up. Why not join us if you haven't been? And I know not everybody's been able to come. I don't know why. Maybe you're concerned about it. Fine. Stay home and watch the services that we have. I'm not putting pressure. I'm just saying, if you're just sitting at home to sit at home, that's not the right attitude to have. We need to fellowship. This is part of the church. This is part of the early church. It's part of the church now. The breaking of bread included, but not limited to, the Lord's Supper. And so here we see continuing Christianity. Let's review. Number one, continuing Christianity happens as we have the assurance of our salvation, as we are following the Lord in believers' baptism, and then as we are joining ourselves to a fellowship, to a community, to a group of born-again baptized believers who are seeking to honor God's word and continue to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Then, notice verse number 42. We see the next one, number 4. We see they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Number 4 is continual teaching. Continual teaching. The early church did not have the completed written word of God that we have today. We have the book right here. 66 books. Genesis to Revelation. Old Testament has 39. New Testament has 27. We have the entire completed written word of God. The early church did not have that. But you know what they did have? They had the apostles teaching and preaching. And the Bible says that they continued in it. Now, you think about this. Notice what the verse says in verse 41. How many people were added to the church? You see it? How many? 3,000. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but do you know what this brought an immediate need? Here's what it brought. It brought an immediate need of a discipleship program. In fact, the very first discipleship program. And they didn't have one that needed to be discipled. They didn't have 5, 10, 15, 20. They had 3,000 people that needed to be discipled. They had 3,000 people that needed to be taught the principles of the Word of God. They had the Old Testament. They had the prophets. They had the Holy Spirit of God. They had all that they needed. In fact, remember, they had all that they needed to continue to see souls saved and experience thousands converted. And the church is just now in the beginning of a major expansion. And they had all that they need. 3,000 people, they needed to be discipled. You know what they placed? They placed a high priority on the teaching of the Word of God. You know what we need to do? Place a high priority on the teaching of the Word of God. Faith Bible Institute is getting ready to start. This semester may be the only one like it, but you can be enrolled in Faith Bible Institute and take it from your home. FBI FBIclass.com, I think, is the website. I'm going from memory there. You can let me, ask me or Pastor Nathan know how to sign up. You can do it all online. You don't have to put anything through the church. You can sign up all online under Anchor Baptist Church. I would seriously consider that. Semester number 4 is the one that we're doing now. You can even look and see online exactly what's going to be taught. Why? We need a continual teaching of the Word of God. If we're going to grow in grace, we can't just say, well, you know what? I'm just going to read a few verses a day, and that's all I'm going to do in the Word of God. No, we should want to do more in the Word of God. I'm not discounting your personal walk, by the way. That's where it should begin. That's where it should begin. Oh, we have these opportunities. Later, when pressure was placed on the apostles to oversee the distribution of the welfare program, later on in the book of Acts, we'll look about that. They said that it would not be reasonable for them to leave the Word of God to wait on tables. Why? Because they knew the importance of the Word of God. Oh, I've learned that over the years of my Christian life. I've learned that over the years of pastoring, that it is vital that we continue teaching the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. If you've never been through discipleship, why not now? We can do it online. We can do it in person, physically distanced at the office, with the men especially. Ladies, we might have to do it online. You know what? My wife has been continuing to do discipleship this whole time. I praise the Lord for the ladies that have stuck to it. Mrs. Rayford has continued to do the ladies' Bible study. Ladies, you should be in that. Every one of you could be in that every other Tuesday night. And hey, gentlemen, how about men's prayer? How about joining us next Sunday for men's prayer? We open the Word of God and give a truth from the Word of God before we go to prayer. The point is this: we need to continue in our Christianity. We need to grow in grace. How did it happen in the early church? They got assurance of their salvation. How did it happen in the early church? They were baptized. How did it happen in the early church? They joined the church. How did it happen in the early church? They continued teaching the Word of God, a continual teaching. I must continue. We must continue to put emphasis where God places the emphasis. And God always emphasizes and honors His Word. I just saw a video clip the other day of people down in Portland, Oregon. And I'm not picking on Portland, Oregon, but people down in Portland, Oregon were burning the Word of God. Can you imagine that there would ever come a day in the United States of America? I know we don't live in there. We live in Canada. I'm thankful for the country that I live in. Praise God. But could you imagine if there would be a day where you would see something like that in a nation like the United States of America? People burning the Word of God. Folks, we need to get plugged into the truth of the Word of God. We need to get plugged into learning more of the Word of God. We need to be memorizing more of the Word of God. I don't know what's coming over the horizon. I don't know what persecutions we could face in our lifetime, but I know this. The Word of God is still the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is still quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I'm thankful to have the Word of God. There must be a continual teaching and preaching of the Word of God. But what's next? Look at verse 42. They gladly received His Word, were baptized, and the same day were added unto the church of Moses. Excuse me. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Prayers. Would you go back with me to chapter 1 and verse 14? These all continued with one accord in what? Prayer and supplication. Number 5, there must be a continual praying. Not only a continual teaching for number 4, but a continual praying. I trust that in these last 19 days, as we've journeyed through this prayer and fasting booklet, that you have prayed more in the last 19 days than maybe in any other 19-day span. I know for me, it doesn't have to always be at one time, but for me, it's an attitude of prayer throughout the day. Yes, there is that calling on the Lord, and yes, there is that time. There's been multiple times where God's woke me up in the middle of the night, not just in the last 19 days, but it's happened in the last 19 days, and more aware of, okay, God, what do we want to talk about? God, what do you want to tell me? God, what do you want to teach me? God, what do you want to correct me over? How do you want to encourage me? Sometimes we need to stand still and we need to hurry up and stand still. I have an audio book that I'm going through, and that was a quote that really challenged me. The book's called Experiencing God by Blackaby, and the quote was this: too many people are hurrying up and moving on. No, we need to hurry up and stand still. In other words, hurry up, stop hurrying, and stand still. Oh, that happens when we have time for prayer. The early church was known for its continual praying. There's no doubt about it. Prayer is binding the strong man of the house And serving God is taking the spoils. Get this. Prayer is binding the strong man of the house. Serving God is taking the spoils. You know what that means? You can't take the spoils until you've binded the strong man. You can't do what God wants you to do. I can't do what God wants me to do until we bind the enemy, until we with prayer and fasting and supplication, until we with prayer ask the Lord, God, would you please bind the enemy? Would you please bind the enemy's influence in my home? Would you please bind the enemy's influence in this church? Would you bind the influence of the enemy in my life? And we bind the enemy. We put holy arms of God around the enemy so that then we can labor for the Lord. Too many times in my life, I have served God without binding the enemy. I have attempted to do something for God without going to prayer first. Prayer is binding the strong man before taking the spoils. Let's turn over to Acts 4. Acts 4, 31. And we'll be looking at these verses in more detail later on. Acts 4, 31, the Bible says, and when they had prayed, notice the progression. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. So it wasn't just that they were assembling there that the place began to shake. It began to shake because they prayed and began to assemble where they were assembling. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They weren't filled with the Holy Ghost because they were assembled. No, they were filled with the Holy Ghost because they prayed. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Do you see the progression? Do you see the building there? There would be no speaking with boldness. There would be no filling of the Holy Ghost. There would be less of a purpose for the assembling unless first there was a time of prayer. A time of prayer. The emphasis on service must not supersede the emphasis of prayer. Prayer, I believe prayer holds a greater influence, and emphasis must hold a greater emphasis than what we do. We need to be something for God in the presence of the Lord before we can do something for Him. Now that does not excuse laziness. That does not excuse, well, I'm just going to pray all day and not do anything for God. If God leads you to pray all day once one day or a couple of days, fine. I'm not saying that. The point is this. Prayer should not be neglected, though, in order to do more service. Our service for God will go so much further when we take time to bind the strong man. You know, the enemy is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. We need to bind the strong man. We need to bind the enemy. We need to bind Satan. We can't do that in the power of the flesh, but oh, we can do that in the power of the Spirit of God. That's where the prayer comes. That's where the boldness comes. That's where the preaching comes. But it all starts with prayer, and then the filling of the Holy Spirit, and then the boldness from that filling of the Holy Spirit. You see, this is a continuing Christianity. We're building. First, we must have the assurance of our salvation. Second, we must follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Third, there must be a church membership. I believe every Christian should be a member of a Bible-preaching church. Are you a member somewhere? If not, you need to get that settled. You need to get that straightened out. In fact, I don't think it's right. You need to make it right with God. You need to be a member of a Bible-preaching church. It's all through Scripture. Why should it change today? Well, I'm just going to bounce around from church to church. No, that's not what God intended. God intended for you to submit yourself and for me to submit myself to a local church through the Scriptures of the Word of God, through an under-shepherd, and it doesn't have to be Pastor Turner, as he follows the Lord, we follow the pastor as he follows the Lord, submitting ourselves one to another, seeking to see God do great and mighty things. So membership. Then there is a continual teaching. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be in our personal devotions in the Word of God. We need to be in Sunday school every Sunday at 3:00. We need to be discipled if you've never been through that. Faith Bible Institute, I'll say it one more time. Why not join? So convenient. Everything's online. The classes are all online. The tests are all online. Oh, did I say tests? They're easy. You would do a great job. You can ask anyone. We've got many graduates that are in the church that have graduated, and we've got several that are signed up for this semester. Why not join them? You can do it online. You can come to the office if you'd like, but you could do it online as well. Continual praying, continual teaching. Then notice what happened in verse 45. Acts 2:45. Let's read 44. And all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. Number six, there is a continual giving. A continual giving. The early church was a giving church. The early church was a sharing church. We see that in these verses. You see, the key to this giving, the key to this sharing, the key to what we're reading here is that it was all voluntary. There was no arm twisting. There was no guilt trip motivated. It was all voluntary. Folks, the sooner we learn the joys of giving, the greater blessings of the Lord we will know. That's what I was talking about, joy earlier. God wants us to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Look, if we are someone who is selfish, we're not going to have the joy of the Lord. No, God wants us to be giving men. God wants us to be giving women. Oh, I'm so thankful for the Anchor Baptist Church. You've been giving so faithfully, not just during this time, but especially during this time. Thank you for giving to the Gospel Mail Advance, where over 60,000 gospel tracts have gone out. And I'm praying this week we'll have the greatest offering that we've ever had for the Gospel Mail Advance, and we can get to our goal of 100,000. God laid that on my heart. Many of you have sacrificed. Many of you have given. To God be the glory. Many of you have continued to tithe, even when you may have thought, maybe the devil tempted you. You know what? You need that this week. You need the tithe this week. Don't give it. You need it for bills. You need it for this. You need it for that. But we know that God rebukes the devourer as we are faithful in our giving, a continual giving. Let me just challenge you right here. If you've been robbing God, you are being robbed of the blessings of God. If you are robbing God today, not only are you being robbed of the blessings, but you're under God's judgment. You're under God's judgment. Malachi, the devourer is going to devour something in your life. And I'm just trying to help you. I'm trying to be the under-shepherd lovingly. But the local church, the early church, they brought their tithes into the storehouse. They brought them on the first day of the month, on the first day of the week. They brought their giving. They gave to other churches. Praise God, we've been doing that for all 19 years, giving to missions, helping get churches started, a continual giving. Psalm 144:15 says, happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. I hope that God is the God of your wallet and the God of your bank account and the God of your pocketbook. May God be the God of our finances. This church was a church known by its continual giving. We're talking about today continuing Christianity. Part of that is spirit of giving. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Oh, I'm so thankful for many of you that have expressed love to our family, not just in recent, I'm talking about so many times over, and others within the church you've given to. You've helped this person, you've helped that person, you've given in this love offering. Look, I'm thankful for Anchor Baptist Church. I'm thankful for how God has graciously given to us as a body and as individuals. But may we be known in our Christian life that we are continuing in our giving. And then one more. Look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. You know what? There's so many things that I could mention. I just the Lord just spoke to me. Continuing in praise. That's not one of the points. But that's what we see. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The last one, number seven, is this. There is a continual harvest. Or, if you want to go along with the INGs, we've had continual teaching, continual praying, continual giving, and now continual reaping. Continual reaping. God always blesses obedience. God builds the church. Jesus Christ said that I will build my church. Anchor Baptist Church does not belong to Pastor Turner, Pastor Nathan. It doesn't belong to the membership of Anchor Baptist Church. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, today, as we begin a brand new month, the month of August, just 2 days in, can you believe it? We're already into August. God has been so good to us. God has given us a harvest. God has given us souls saved in the last several months. God has given us folks that are interested in being a part of Anchor Baptist Church and assembling together when we are able to. God is building His church. God is leading the charge. And the goal is always God. And if God is pressing forward and God is moving forward, we're following our God. Hey, our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing our God cannot do. And I've told you that through the years. The mountains are His, the valleys are His, the stars are His handiwork too. We can see the progression in the early church. We can see it. Can't you see it? They got saved. They got baptized. They got in. They kept getting the teaching. They kept getting the praying. They kept praying. They kept giving. And guess what happened? The Lord added to the church. How often? Daily. Daily. Oh, I remember one year we prayed that we would have one person saved for every year, every day of the year, that we would have at least 365 people saved in one year. To be honest with you, I can't remember if we met that goal or not. It's been too long ago. I want to say we did, but I'm not going to go on record and say that we did if it's not true. But here we see a progression. They were continuing. They weren't satisfied with where they were. They wanted to grow in grace. Why? How? What gave them that? I'll tell you what gave them that. The very first thing that we looked at. They were indwelt by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God bore witness with their spirit. You see, I believe the reason why many Christians are not continuing is because they're not even a Christian. They're not truly saved. They came forward in a service. They may have been dealt with by a worker. Nothing against that worker. But all they did was pray a prayer. They never recognized that they were a guilty sinner. They were going to go to hell. Their sin nailed Jesus to the cross. They just prayed a prayer. They were putting their faith in the prayer, not in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's not about praying a prayer, it's about receiving a person into my life. And when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, everything will change. You will continue on. There will be setbacks. Proverbs says, a just man falls seven times. Proverbs 24:16. I believe it is. A just man falls seven times, but riseth up again. Oh, my friend, today is the day to continue in Christianity. Hey, today's the day to get saved. If you're not saved, won't you trust Christ as your Savior today? This progression should be continuing in each and every assembly. This should be seen in Anchor Baptist Church. This should be seen in the church that you're a part of. What is it should be seen? Number one, there should be people getting saved and getting the assurance of their salvation. Number two, there should be people getting baptized. Number three, there should be people that are joining the church. Number four, there should be a continuous time of teaching the Word of God. Oh, put yourself under the teaching of the Word of God. If you're not able to assemble together, there's no excuse. I mean, we have it live streamed now, greater than we've ever had it before. Anchor Baptist Church, make sure you're getting the teaching of the Word of God. Make sure you're reading the Word of God for yourself, getting your own spiritual nourishment so that you can take that and give it to someone else. Then there was a continual praying. Oh, church, we need to be a praying people. We need to be praying fathers and mothers and teenagers. We need to be praying husbands and wives and aunts and uncles. We need to be praying brothers in Christ. We need to be praying sisters in Christ. We need to continue in prayer. It was the boldness and it was the preaching that followed the prayer. Oh, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Don't we need much to be done in 2020? Yes, we do. How's it going to happen? Continual praying. They were a church that was known by their continual giving. May that always be said of us. And then there was a continual reaping. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stop the blessings of God. You know what stops the blessings of God? Disobedience. Obedience always brings blessing. Where in this line of these steps of continuing in your Christianity did you stop? Skip one maybe. No, we need all of these. We need all of these steps because the ultimate goal is that the Lord added to the church daily, meaning the ultimate goal was the Lord. The ultimate goal is God. It's not growth. God is the goal. And so today, I want to remind you of that. In a very familiar passage of Scripture, that by God's grace, we can continue. We can have a continuing Christianity. Christianity is not a decision. Christianity is a lifestyle. Christianity is not a moment. Christianity is a life lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes at this time. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you so much for listening. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to just speak to you for just a moment. My eyes are open, but all I see is a camera right now. So I can't see you there in your home, there in your car, wherever you're listening. Bottom line is this. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? What are you trusting in? Who are you trusting in? If it's anything but the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to be saved right now. You need to humble yourself before a holy God. If you can go to your knee, go to your knee. Right now, would you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Would you take a moment and would you humbly accept the gift that He has for you, the gift of eternal life? Now, trust Him now. If we can help you in any way, anchorbaptistburnaby@gmail.com. That's my email address. anchorbaptistburnaby@gmail.com. Would you jot it down? Would you email me, Pastor Turner? I'm not sure I'm saved. There are so many resources. I can speak to you over the phone. We can set up an appointment. I can talk to you over the phone. I'm quarantined all week, but I can talk to you over the phone. We can have a video chat. We can just have an audio chat. I want you to know that you're saved. Jesus wants to save you. God wants you to be saved and know it. That's where the Christianity begins, knowing for sure that we're saved. Then maybe you need to be baptized. If you've never been baptized, we have a baptismal coming up. Same thing you can do. Reach out to me if you're a part of Anchor Baptist Church. We would love for you to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And then whatever God spoke to you about, do business with God. Take a moment. Don't miss out on the invitation. The song says, I surrender all. Do you surrender all? Do I truly surrender all? If so, then we would be willing to be a group of continuing followers of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be in church today. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would take these words. And Lord, that you would do what I could never do or nor whatever I want to attempt to do. Holy Spirit of God, please move in our midst. May we be a people that are continuing for Christ. May we be a people that are continuing in our community to be a light. Save the lost today, Lord, through your word, through the power of the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that there would be a continuing giving and a continuing teaching, a continuing praying, that you would continue to bring in, there would be continual reaping. Oh, that we would linked up, that we'd be members of a fellowship, a community. And Lord, that we would have a strong desire to meet together again every opportunity that we possibly can. Lord, we yield this meeting to you. We yield the Sunday school that was happened earlier. We yield this meeting to you. Please, Lord, be glorified is our prayer. Please, Lord, bring the revival that only you can bring. Please, Lord, would you bring lost souls and convict them that they might be saved. Bless the tracts that continue to go out. Bless the preaching of your word. God, it is our desire not to grow in numbers, but to grow in grace, that we would have a continuing Christianity. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being a part of this meeting today. Again, I've said it over and over. I'm available. My wife's available. Yes, we can't leave the house for another 9 days, but we're available. We want to help you. We can talk on the phone. Whatever we can do within the confines of our house to help you, we want to do it. Keep praying for the work of the Lord, that it would go forth in power and glory. Please pray for Vacation Bible School. It's just around the corner. We need your help. We need your prayers. May God continue to bring revival to the Anchor Baptist Church. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your evening.